From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Michelle Norris. We're going to spend the rest of this hour with a group of American opera singers working well outside their comfort zone. They've just spent a month in Beijing learning to sing modern Chinese opera. The I Sing Beijing program was funded by the Chinese government. But as NPR's Louisa Lim reports from Beijing, one man with a remarkable life story made it happen.
Lesson number one. Saying thank you in Chinese. For American soprano Maria McDaniel, this is the start of a linguistic journey into another culture. She's one of 20 American and European singers who recently spent a month in Beijing learning to sing modern Chinese operas.
There are no lips.
Oh, right, and it's very frontal.
Her days are packed with language lessons and one-on-one workshops. McDaniel says she's keen to explore China as a possible market of the future, given the dwindling opportunities for opera singers at home.
Many prominent opera companies have closed their doors. Much more have had to cut down on their seasons, the number of productions, and then the number of jobs are shrinking. So that was another reason that fueled my interest in coming over here and exploring.
She's learning to sing a role from a modern Chinese opera called Chinese Orphan. At the end of the month, each of the singers will perform an aria. They'll sing at the most prestigious venue in China, Beijing's National Center for the Performing Arts.
This is a very special day for me.
This is the brainchild of Hao Jiangtian, a Chinese opera singer who's made it on the international stage. Once a factory worker, he arrived in the U.S. penniless, knowing just three words of English. Within a decade, he was performing at the Met. He hopes this program will reduce the kind of discrimination he faced when he tried to break into opera in the West.
I had some terrible experiences with the directors, conductors, and the managers too, and because still, this is a Western opera, Western culture. The first rehearsal, if I don't know this conductor, director, my singing colleagues, and I could see lots of question marks in their eyes. This is Chinese. Can he sing?
Yet new contemporary Chinese music is having a bigger impact in the West. And Tian has premiered in a clutch of high-profile pieces, including The First Emperor of the Met, written by composer Tan Dun. Tian points out that China's economic boom is also creating a cultural boom.
Everybody knows the economy is really growing fast, so there are lots of money here and there, and so every city wants to become an international city, so they build an opera house. Government really put in lots of money for cultural events and developments.
With his program, Tian has come back to where he started. He takes the singers and a documentary crew to visit a Beijing boiler factory where he spent 6 years working on a steel cutting machine. As the cameras roll, together with his old colleagues, he belts out a forbidden American folk song, which back then they used to sing secretly. The most moving moment comes when a group of young factory workers start singing their factory anthem. This turns out to be Beethoven's Ninth Symphony. The new lyrics include a mention of how the company is burning its chest to warm the earth. The opera singers join in, their polished chorus providing the perfect counterpoint to the workers. At this moment, the two halves of Tian's life have come together. Maria McDaniel voices the mood.
This is only his second time returning here in 40 years. Can you imagine? It's a celebration of every kind. When I walked in, I felt so emotional because it was like to share a part of his journey like this, to celebrate how far he's come, I think is remarkable.
Tian has managed to secure Chinese government funding for I Sing Beijing, even though many of the big names involved are volunteering for free. True to its name, the official launch of I Sing Beijing is punctuated with outbreaks of song. This one welcomes guests from afar. The program's major funder was the Hanban, which is better known for setting up Confucius Institutes to teach Chinese language outside China. Asked about its soft power ambitions, the Institute's executive director, Xu Lin, said this.
Chinese people are now seen as rich country bumpkins without taste or culture. I'm trying to let the outside world know that China's 5,000 continuous years of culture is very attractive.
When it comes to understanding Chinese culture, tenor Thomas Glenn has one of the steepest learning curves. He's been assigned a much-loved Peking opera piece, The Siege of Tiger Mountain. But his first impressions of Peking opera weren't all that positive.
From our point of view and where our Western ears, it seems a very shrill, very monochromatic art form.
But by the time of the gala performance, he's had a month of masterclasses with a Peking opera star, Jiang Qihu. The audience is hugely appreciative. And Glenn says he's learnt a new respect for the art form.
To realise that these Peking opera singers study their whole lives to learn not only how to sing, but to dance, to do kung fu and their own makeup is very impressive. I can't say that I would ever become a Peking opera singer because it's very difficult to sing that type of music, but I certainly have a great respect for it.
On the big night, Maria McDaniel sings her aria from Chinese Orphan. By then, Hao Jiangtian is already looking ahead. And he has an inkling that that opera may be part of his next big project.
My dream is that someday I could help to cast a whole Western cast to sing a Chinese contemporary opera. Maybe next year.
So the first day of your program, when you said my dream has come true.
Yes.
In fact, now 10 days later, your dream has already changed and become bigger and different.
Dream, that's the beauty of a dream, is because every night could be different.
One man's dream of promoting intercultural understanding is overlapping with a larger official dream of showcasing modern China's cultural strengths. At the gala concert, the success of the I Sing Beijing program is clear, and nowhere more so than during the finale, a heartfelt rendition by the chorus of Westerners of one of China's most famous songs. Its name, I Love You, China. Louisa Lim, NPR News, Beijing.
This is All Things Considered from NPR News.